You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, here with Vance Pittman. And Vance, today we're continuing a conversation about growing as a leader, specifically an H3 leader. And joining us today again is the author of H3 Leadership, Brad Lominick. Welcome back to the podcast, Brad.
Second time. I hopefully that means there was at least some good response from part one. You didn't cut me off.
That's great. No, absolutely. I listen, if nobody else got anything, I wanted you to come back just because I was getting so much out of it. I felt like I was in a one-on-one counseling session. It was so good for me personally.
I have a question on that. So yep. We were talking about on the last episode, like you transitioning into a new season.
Yeah.
Of assignment, which yep. Is that like, talk about some of the pain points you felt. Cause I mean, You're example number one of navigating this whole identity calling assignment thing.
Yeah, it for me, for sure. You know, after 22 years of pastoring and planting and pastoring the church here in Las Vegas and being involved in that, I'd always known for me, I was more missionary than I was pastor. And that's another, you get back to an identity and calling issue for a lot of church planters, church planting teams. They assume I got to become a pastor. But the reality is Paul never pastored any of the churches that he planted. He was the planter apostolic missionary who would raise up leaders. I just wasn't great at that part of it. So it took me 22 years to get the guy raised up. But I knew that I was more missionary than pastor. And so I had to transition at some point. And I'd always focused on raising up other leaders. So yeah, last year, I finally made that transition and God raised up a young man in our fellowship, passed the baton to him. I'm now president of Send Network and leading really an apostolic movement of seeing the church multiplied for the expansion of the kingdom in cities and nations all over the world. But you're right. It's been a pain point for me to have to walk through in that process because it, just growing with all of the tension of letting something go to embrace something that God's called you to. And to be honest, nothing helped me get ready for this more than parenting my children who are now parents. Because parenting my children who are now parents, I went from being dad to being counselor when asked. And until they ask, I don't have a right to speak into the situation. I'm not the parent. And in this situation now, I'm not the pastor. I've passed that baton. I'm now a counselor when asked, and I have to be patient and extend grace. And here's what I discovered, Brad. When my kids live in our home for a couple of weeks, I get real frustrated watching them parent up close. But when they live far away and I just drop in, all the kids are good. And I had to understand that in our church, I've had to create a little distance because as I tried to be too close, I kind of live frustrated, but as I give it some space and let him lead, I drop in and, hey, the kids are good. And so now I'm literally walking through all of that right now.
Yeah, oh, it's so good. Yeah. Go ahead, Noah.
Guys, in the last episode, we dug into one of the three words in H3 leadership, humble, hungry, hustle. We focused in on humility and answering the question, who am I? In today's episode, I want us to dive a little deeper into hungry and hustle. Let's start with hungry. Brad, you said that hungry answers this question, where do I want to go? Well, I've heard a lot about the pitfalls of hunger and ambition. So before we get there, let's talk about the positive side of hunger. What are some of the habits a healthy leader should develop when it comes to hunger?
Question asking and curiosity. I mean, I'll start there. This is the, especially for younger leaders, the greatest way or one of the best ways for you to shortcut to more influence, fast forward to more influence, is to have a posture of curiosity And that really, it plays itself out primarily through the art of good question asking. And I know the leaders I would put on the Mount Rushmore, the sages, the grand poobahs. When you ask them what's something that has helped them differentiate themselves as a leader, it's that they still walk into every room, even as the goat, and they have this posture of wanting to learn more. Mm-hmm. That I haven't arrived. I may be the world's expert on whatever topic, but I'm still walking in with the moleskin or my phone or a yellow pad. Thank you, John Maxwell. Walking in with that out, and I'm taking notes then on people I meet, and I'm asking them, hey, what are you learning? What are you into right now? What's a lesson that stands out for you? And man, I just want to have that constant posture in my life. And this is, you're so attractive when you operate that way as a leader, because when you ask a good question, you honor the person you're asking, and you're saying to them, I'm really interested to want to know more. And this is also like evangelism 101. If you want to connect with people and actually like get them to be interested in what you're interested in, you have to start with this posture of, hey, tell me about you. And I think we've lost this art, unfortunately, like in culture and in the church. So that's one for me and this doesn't take skill. It doesn't take know-how. It does take experience. So people will say, well, what do I start with? What's a great question? I don't know. Like, tell me about you. What are you dreaming about? What's something that's keeping you up at night? A great question to ask people who work for you or that you work around is, what's something that I can do to help you be better at your role? Is there anything I'm doing, that is causing you to not be able to function well? So it's a mindset though, that I'm going to walk into every environment hungry and with a posture that is about asking questions compared to just giving answers.
It's really good.
Brad, what I love about what you just described is we talked about this in the last episode, but the three-legged stool of this humble, hungry, and hustle. You will not ever sit down with a leader with a posture of asking questions to learn unless you come from a place of humility in your heart.
Yes.
It's a posture of humility that recognizes my perspective's not enough. My input I can't see everything. I need to learn from somebody else. There's the beauty of what you've written is the interdependence of these things. It's that heart of humility that gives you that genuine hunger to really want to learn and grow, no matter where you are on the spectrum of leadership.
So good. Vance, in the perspective of church planting, I'd love to hear from you. What do you want to see and develop in this generation of church planters and church planting leaders? What kind of hunger do you want to see developed in them?
I want to see the kind of hunger that doesn't say, I want to do something great for God. I know that sounds spiritual, and there are even quotes that we use from spiritual leaders in the past that says, do something great for God. But if you really take what Brad's talking about, this humility and hunger, and you put it together, it's understanding God is doing something great in the world, and He desires to do something great through me. But the way that I come up with that is not me sitting in a room with a whiteboard and dreaming up something great for God. It's about living in dependence on Him, a pursuit of Him, and then seeking what He's doing in the world and then leveraging my life to get in on it. For example, in my own life, people look at the journey of the last 22 years of my life and ask some questions about it. But to be honest, if I'd gotten in a room and come up with something great for God, I'm a white kid from Alabama. Las Vegas would have never been on my radar. Yeah. I would have never come up with a plan to go to Las Vegas and join in starting churches out of Sin City. Like that never would have come up. But it was what Brad writes about, that posture of humility and identity rooted in Christ. I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being. He made me to be someone, to be intimate with Him. And out of the overflow of intimacy with Him, ultimately, He put a call on my life to a place called Las Vegas. The rest is history. God's done something great, but it's something great that he did through me out of the overflow of that dependence on him. So I want to see a generation of planters who hunger to see the activity of God in the world fleshed out through their lives as they live in absolute dependence on him.
So good.
It's good.
So
good. And I love that. By the way, I would also add practically when it comes to hunger, question asking, finding people, you know, because we've heard this said, you know, the five people you're around the most are they will prove to be the greatest reflection of who you're becoming. Mm-hmm. And I would say, as well as when it comes to, well, who am I asking? Like, who am I reaching out to? Who do I need to be learning from? What are the mentors, sages, the peers, the people in my life that are going to help me the most? And this idea that I find some leaders who are a couple of steps ahead of me. And that this is so important, especially if you're starting out your journey as a church planter, as a leader, is everybody thinks, oh, I'd love to be mentored by Vance Pittman because he's the GOAT, right? The challenge is there's like seven people who might have access to your time and energy because you just got a bunch of stuff going. And so what do I do now that I don't get access to the heroes of the faith? Mm-hmm. Well, you find somebody who's a step or two ahead. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who are going to help you the most. Right. We think we want to go find the ultimate best-selling author or the podcaster or the thought leader. And if you get access to them, great. But that person who is a step or two ahead, they're going to help you the most because they've been where you've been the most recent. And they have all this learning that they can like now pass on to you. And nobody's even asking them for like their time, right? That's right. So this I've found this to be a shortcut in my life, even as I've grown as a leader, is now I got access to John Maxwell early on. So for me, it was sort of like, you know, that's not fair, right? But I learned pretty quickly, no, the people who are going to help me are the ones who are just a few steps ahead of me. And over the course of my life, I've always wanted to have that mindset is I'm going to go find people I can learn from, but I'm going to really be in community or be connected to some people who are going to help me practically because they've been where I am right now, the most recent.
Yeah. Right. I say this often. I say the relational choices that I make set the environment from which leadership decisions will be made. And what you just said is pure gold. Finding some people that are just a few steps ahead of you. When I started to plant the church in Vegas, it's 22 years ago. We talked about church planting being cool. 22 years ago, it wasn't cool. And it sure wasn't cool in Las Vegas. Like I didn't cut in front of the line on anybody coming to plant a church in Vegas. But I did know a couple of guys who were a little further down the road than me. And I'm serious. I could call out the name right now of three guys who deeply impacted our church planting journey early on. And nobody listening to this podcast would even know their names. You've never heard of them. But I'm telling you, these three guys significantly shaped our church plant early on with just some language that they put into our heart. One guy's, I won't say his whole name, so I don't want to hurt, but one guy's name is John. And early on, he told me the joy is in the journey. And it just resonated. It became a rally cry in our church. It wasn't when we got the first 100 or the first building or the first church ever. Every part of this journey was the joy that God had invited us into and enjoying that journey. So you are so wise in saying that. And I would also add, you get wisdom from those people a couple of steps ahead of you. But I love also making sure that I got some people that are a little behind me because they're the ones that give me zeal. Like it's their newness. They see stuff with fresh eyes that I've kind of lost now. And having younger guys around me at the same time as I have some guys around me that are further along gives me that excitement and that zeal to stay engaged. What would you say to that, Brad?
I love that. Yes. Because also when you have to codify something that you're learning to pass it on to somebody who might be a few steps behind you, it actually helps you to actually know what you're doing. It forces you. And succession, this has to, I mean, we think of it as, and transitioning of wisdom and knowledge, We think it only happens at the top of organizations. This should happen as a youth pastor, and you're going and finding a new youth pastor, or you've got a couple of youth pastors, student pastors you're raising up. It happens with, if you're a 12-year-old, you should be impacting and mentoring a 7-year-old. You know, if you're a 18-year-old, you should be impacting a 14-year-old. 25-year-old should be impacting a, you know, a freshman in college. The process of this idea of, you know, mentor, peer, protege, that, you know, hello, it's biblical. Like we know this
say,
is true.
Man, yeah. It's Christ-likeness. That's what
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. And it has to be formed into the foundation of our organizations. Because that when that starts happening, now like there's this constant sense of that you're raising up leaders, you're passing on influence, you're all about transition and succession. The next generation is, they see a ladder now all of a sudden compared to just, well, I guess the only way I can get ahead here or stay in the organization is I'm going to have to like get access to whoever is in charge. And man, there's only a few seats at that table, right? So we have to like create this mindset in a culture that says every single person here is going to be developed at some point in their journey.
It's so, man, good. I know I don't mean to cut you off, but we've already talked about humility. We've talked about hunger, but there's another one of these H words that I can't wait to get to, because I heard you in the first episode just give a broad brushstroke, and you said some things that were just water to a thirsty soul. So unpack for us this idea of hustle and what that means.
Yeah. Well, every Myers-Briggs, you know, the drivers, the ENTJs or the Enneagram 3s or 8s or whatever assessment you want to take, whoever is the ambitious leaders listening to this, they're like, amen, hustle. Yes. Work hard. We need hard workers. You know, we need people who will execute. You know, they're faithful and fruitful. Yeah. Yes. That's all part of being a hustler. And by the way, the idea of hustle has to be, as a follower of Jesus, that you have to incorporate into your hustle the other factor, meaning the others or others factor. This idea that my hustle is just not, it's not about me. So if I can start to see that the power of the hustle factor for my own leadership is now benefiting others, that my like working hard is to the betterment of somebody besides myself, I think that's the right kind of hustle. If our hustle is simply because we want something, that becomes scarcity, it becomes selfish, it becomes worldly, you know, it starts to move into hustler, like the bad definition of what it means to hustle. And then the other part of hustle, I said it on the first episode, is it really has to include, what does it look like for us to rest, to be about others, to have abundance mindset, to be collaborators, to be generous, to have margin. And this is part of hustle that most of us that are wired to work hard, we struggle at, because we don't necessarily like the idea that we have to have Sabbath and rest and create margin, because our system is just go. Our engines, like we want to like always be moving forward, but you know, to finish well, that for me, it comes back to, what's my goal? My goal is to finish the race well. And the best way for me to get to the finish line and finish the race well is to take more of a marathon than a sprint approach. And that's where, again, margin, Sabbath, abundance, generosity and collaboration, those have to be part of our hustle factor.
Vance, we've talked about, mentioned burnout. You've written on burnout and having a life that's not full of stress. But on the other side of that, church planting requires hard work. It requires a generation of guys who are saying, I'm willing to do the hard things. And so why is this concept of hustle so important to church planting as we look upon the landscape today?
I think it goes back to where we started in the first conversation, and that is an identity issue. Church planters tend to get their identity wrapped up in what they do. And a part of that is the busyness of the church planting lifestyle. we take, as church planters, we begin to take pride in how full our schedule is, and how busy we are. And we love to compare that to others. Like, we even begin to feel guilty if there's a little bit of break in the schedule. And so we got to squeeze something else in there. And it's how I live my life for a long time on this journey. It's why I collapsed and why I had to relearn what Brad was just talking about with this thing of margin, that rest is spiritual. Jesus commanded rest, both in the Old and New Testaments. There's a command to rest, meaning rest is an issue of obedience to Christ as much as work is an issue of obedience to Christ. But then I think it goes back to what Paul said. Paul said in Colossians 1:29, I labor, and that word labor means to work to exhaustion in the Greek language. But he said, I do that striving according to his power that mightily works within me. So it's a striving independence, which again wraps the hustle and the humility and all this back together so beautifully. Brad, talk to us about how to build that. I know there are planters listening to this that they hear the word margin and rest, and they're like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
How do they build? Yeah. Exactly. Tell me how to do that. How do we build it in?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's about rhythm. I like the word rhythm more than even, you know, the idea that I'm going to have balance. Balance is overrated, especially as a church planter. Nobody has ever probably put church planter and balance in the same bucket, right? So it's about rhythm. Like, what's the rhythm of this season? The rhythm of the season is that I'm launching something. I'm going to have a season of what probably feels like less rest on the norm. But what I can't do is I can't make that now the norm. And that's the challenge, is you go through seasons and then you just keep upgrading to another level of intensity without ever like putting the rhythm of rest in. And you have to give yourself permission, I think, in different seasons. Again, think of the person who has small kids. That's a season of intensity. So you're going to have less time to, you know, they're listening right now going, that's great for you guys. So that's one side of this. The other side is that burnout and anxiety, a lot of things that come with the term burnout, is many times because, now I know there's exceptions, but hear me on this. Many times burnout is caused because we're doing something for a long period of time that's not actually in our strength zone. Mm-hmm. Now we can hustle all day long, but if it goes back to the question of then, like, what are my strengths? How am I wired? And if I'm doing something that I'm right-handed and I'm doing something now that requires my left hand, over time, that will require burnout. So I think when you're in your strength zone and you're in your sweet spot, you get really tired. What you said, Vance, labor, you get exhausted, but you don't necessarily burn out.
Yeah.
And so many times, I think if we reverse engineer from a burnout situation, it's because you were probably like working on a lot of things that you're not actually wired to do. So we can unpack that later, but you know, that's another part of this hustle factor is making sure that every time you're in a place where you feel like you're out of rhythm, you have to reflect back on, well, what does this season actually look like? You know, and that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of self-assessment to do that.
So good, Brad. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. Well, I know you're going to wrap us up, but I encourage everybody to get the book, H3 Leadership. It is filled with wisdom, just like what you've heard from Brad today and on the previous episode. Brad, we're so grateful for you taking the time to join us.
Loved it. Thanks for letting me add a few nuggets here to a plethora of wisdom on this podcast on the regular.
Yeah, check out the book. And if you haven't, go back and listen to a prior episode with Brad Lominick, part one of this conversation. We hope it's going to level you and your team up.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.